to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday morning. So to come on the program, Steve Flowers, columnist. We'll talk a little Governor Patterson, John Patterson passing away over the weekend. And then now from the newly founded SR Communications, no longer of Yellowhammer News, Sean Ross will join us. And that's at the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that. Joining us now, he is the co-chairman for Congressman Mo Brooks' 2022 U.S. Senate campaign effort. Stan McDonald on the line here. Stan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing fine. All is well. Hope you're good.
Doing well is the same. We always appreciate you making time for us. A few things going on in the campaign. I guess the news this morning, you guys at Team Mo Brooks look pretty stout according to the Club for Growth. It's a little way too early poll, but you got real high name ID, high favorable versus unfavorable. And you're leading the pack on the head-to-head, 59 for you guys, Linda Blanchard 13, Katie Britt 9. I mean, and then this is what I find to be more the most remarkable part of this poll, that only a quarter of the respondents were even aware that Donald Trump had endorsed Mo Brooks. So there's some upside potential there.
Yeah, you've covered it well. The thing that is interesting, and you did say it's early, and that's correct, of course, as they would say the only poll that matters is the day of the election day. But that's not entirely true. It does matter before election day because people care about who's in the lead. It has an impact on fundraising. It has an impact on organizing. And it also has an impact on what the message is going to be. You're going to, because of this, you're going to hear everything under the sun by the other camps that they can think of or contrive to destroy Mo Brooks. Now, they won't just watch and see. It won't be in a personal way. You won't see a direct, well, at least you won't see that until later. But there will not be a lot of direct attacks within the Republican ranks, person-to-person campaign, direct campaign. But just be on guard, on the lookout, when you see this campaign unfold, when you have this kind of lead, someone has to find some way to undermine the goodwill and support and good name of Mo Brooks. And so that's one of the things that's just going to continue to be with us.
Well, in my head, I see Donald Trump on stage somewhere in Alabama with Mo Brooks, or I see the possibility of a, some kind of TV spot shot. And that people, if they are able to connect Mo Brooks with Donald Trump, that there's got to be a lot of upside there for Mo Brooks, even with such a big, what I think is maybe perhaps even an insurmountable lead right now.
You know, if I were looking at this from a standpoint of an outsider looking in, and someone told me these were the numbers going on right now in, South Carolina, I would say that's completely insurmountable. And knowing Mo Brooks like I do, I don't know, since 1982. I know that he doesn't. He has the moral high ground in every area of his life. He has his family's complete support. The people who know him best are the people who like him the most. So there's not anything on him they're going to be able to get a foothold in. They'll make stuff up. The bad guys will. Which we're going to get into Eric Swalwell in a minute, I'm sure. But they have to make stuff up in order to get anything. So it is, but as the campaign chair, those are just not words that I would utter. I mean, we're going to run very, very hard as if we're behind.
Well, and that's probably the wise approach. You don't want to take anything for granted. And we've seen what happens in this state when that things are taken for granted. But you mentioned this, that there's going to be this onslaught of negative campaign, and we've had a little taste of it, I would say, from the Blanchard camp. That was kind of almost like an exhibition game. Are you able to, really kind of figure things out and what the best approach is? Maybe it's too early to respond to a lot of that stuff. Or, how are you guys bracing yourself for what I think will probably, you're right, that you got to get a lot of negative attacks?
Well, in all candor, Jeff, We're not going to say it on the radio. There's things that, much as we love you, if we're going to say it anywhere, we'd say it with you. But, we're not going to telegraph everything other than to simply say, we'll let them make the first move and I've said it before, I think, on your show, that the MoBo's counterpunch is always very sound, very square, and very power packed. And so they need to go, if they're going to bring some things up, they need to be very, very careful that it's an argument that they can win. And I don't know of any arguments they're going to win when it comes down to the fact that Alabamians want a conservative fighter who's proven and who will stand behind Donald Trump and be effective for him. And now that we have Donald Trump's endorsement, not only do we have his endorsement, but I've told people you can rest assured one thing. On the day after the election, your listeners know how Donald Trump is. He's going to want to stand up and say, well, I endorse 15 people and all 15 won. He's going to be Nick Saban-ish about it. He's not going to say, well, you know, 8-7 was good enough for me. Or, you know, look at me, 9-6. You know, it's a winning record, more victory. He wants it to be 15-0. And so he hasn't just written an endorsement letter and he's done with it, and we'll see you the day after the election. He's going to be active and involved, and he will probably help answer some of these charges himself, because when they make charges against Mo, a lot of times, in essence, it's going to be a charge against Donald Trump as well. So it is going to get very interesting. I mean, if they want the fight, they will get the fight, and they need to be careful. And no, we're not going to say right now exactly what our strategy on it is, other than to say we will be ready to respond.
Joined by Stan McDonald, who's the co-chairman of Mo Brooks' 2022 U.S. Senate campaign. Stan, the other big item in the news regarding Congressman Brooks is obviously this bizarre sort of process server situation. And we've seen the video, Martha Brooks going into the garage there, and this car speeding up the driveway, and a guy running out with his phone and a piece of paper to serve the congressman's wife. What can you tell us about that? And will do you think we'll see some kind of, I don't know. I know that there was a complaint filed with the Huntsville police, but do you see that this will be pursued in any way to suggest this was an unlawful service?
Yes, it will be pursued. But as your listeners probably know, Mo Brooks is a defendant in an Eric Swalwell lawsuit. Swalwell is the Democrat House member from California who was having an affair with the communist Chinese spy. And so he is suing Donald Trump Sr., Donald Trump Jr., Rudy Giuliani, and Mo Brooks. Those are your defendants. So a lot of times, you know, you can best be known by who your enemies are. And Swalwell, he has targeted those four people as his top people. And the other defendants received service of process just waived and made it easy. And Mo Brooks has been on record and said, look, if you're going to sue me in such a frivolous, politically charged, nonsensical lawsuit, then I'm not going to do your job for you. And so the poor guys have run around for months making a political show out of it. You can easily serve Mo Brooks. You could have easily been served many, many times. But Martha Brooks was coming home from church Sunday morning, and she pulls into her garage, and the garage is attached to the home. I mean, it is part of the home. And you can see on video, even though Swalwell's lawyers denied it, so they're now called it a lie. You can see on video where the guy pulls in behind Martha as she's getting home from church and runs in the garage, and is in there for 14 seconds. And he got right up in her window, scared the daylights out of her. She's a grandmother of 10. And he dropped the paperwork, and she got out and started screaming at him, telling him, get out, get out, get out. And you saw where she chased him out into the parking lot. It's on video. And I think she tried to get his tag, but I'm not sure she got that. We know who he is now. I can tell you that, Jeff. We do know who he is. We didn't know that yesterday, I don't think.
So that changes things, that you know who this individual is.
Yeah, now we know how to prosecute. And he's from Georgia. I'll tell you that much. So they tried to get someone down in Coleman. This is, you probably hadn't heard this. I'll give you something, you know, exclusive for the Jeff Moore Show. But they tried to get a gal from Coleman, and she called up Mo's people and said, I got a story for these papers. Look, by the way, I'm a big supporter of yours. You know, you're going to have to get the paperwork in. Well, we can just get a picture made if you don't mind, because I'll show my friends, because I'm like a big MoBook supporter. And you were like, thanks for the support and everything, but, you know, we're not going to make their job easy. So, obviously, they had trouble finding somebody in Alabama to do their dirty work. They got somebody from Georgia to come. He broke the law, and he will be prosecuted. And I don't know what more to say about that. Stay tuned.
Well,
it's a work in progress.
I guess the only question I would have is, given that it was a violation of local statute, does that impact the validity of the service? Because to connect the dots here, you have to lawfully serve the notice of the lawsuit. So since this was done in a questionably or a dubious legal manner, does that impact the Swalwell suit?
I have not heard right now that I believe that it would. Now we're looking at every angle, and when Mo, you know, the people who don't know Mo is very savvy and leaves no stone unturned in a political legal framework, and I'm sure he's looking at that. But that is not something I've heard yet that it would be that the service of process has failed. But I will just simply say this, that they are going to have to fight for every inch with Mo Brooks. If there's any T that's not crossed or I that's not dotted, you better believe it's going to bite them. And we're already seeing that. I mean, this whole thing was a debacle. I told Dale Jackson yesterday, I said, you know, I bet Trump is watching this on TV and saying, boys, why can't we handle this lawsuit the same way Mo Brooks is? Because exactly what I just said, because most people don't have the legal political framework tied together the way Mo does, and he's leaving these people to look like the incompetent people that they are. I mean, they're incompetent in their thinking and views of what's right for America, and if you make them do their homework, they're going to bump all over themselves all the time. And Mo Brooks, and let me put a plug in here, for the Republican listeners who oftentimes ask themselves, why do we as Republicans roll over so often? Why are we the ones that are always apologizing for what we believe? Why are we the ones always playing defense, and why can't we be playing offense? Then let me just say, as the Mo Brooks chairman, let me introduce you to an offensive player. And you're going to see that. You follow this guy for the next 11 and a half months, and he has a strategy and an offense, and he does not give an inch to these guys.
Stan, another question for you here, though. I got to look at this whole saga between Eric Swalwell and Mo Brooks as being a net positive for both individuals. But and you mentioned it, that you get to demonstrate your offensive skills here for the state. Swalwell probably getting to do the same. He's playing to the base, and I see it on social media and on cable news, being the in my job to watch cable news most of the day. The Eric Swalwell is being cheerled on by the media for this. That it is politically, it is a win-win for both sides, it seems.
Well, we didn't ask for this. We didn't invite the lawsuit, of course. You know, to the extent that it illuminates that Mo Brooks is a fighter and who doesn't give an inch against the bad guys, then of course that probably does help us. I mean, I think the people of Alabama are looking for that, especially Republican primary voters. But I will say this, this is something that we didn't create. We didn't want it. We would much rather talk about the main point of the campaign, or the main message, which is that, you know, we are the conservative fighters who are aligned with the Trump agenda, who are for border security, a strong national defense, and bringing America, the America First agenda. And that is our core message. And some of this stuff, it runs the risk of getting us off message, but this is an organically created thing, not by us. And you're just seeing simply Mo Brooks handling something that has come across his desk, and he's going to handle these liberal Democrat radical leftist socialists in the same way consistently, whether it be on something foolish like this or whether it be whether it be on critical race theory initiatives that they're taking or whatever else. This is Mo Brooks in action.
I got to be thinking, you could have imagined, you would think that your adversaries would be mostly people in this race, but as it turns out, you're one of your biggest adversaries thus far in the campaign as a guy on the opposite side of the country that having to respond to this whole sort of saga.
They chose to sue Donald Trump Jr., Donald Trump Sr., Rudy Giuliani, and Mo Brooks. They see Mo Brooks as a person that they need to stop him before he ever gets to the Senate. You know, Bear Bryant used to say that, I know you and I are both Auburn guys, I get it, but Bear Bryant used to say that he likes to win his games before the ball is ever kicked off, before the ball is ever kicked off. And I think the bad guys are so alert and aware of what Mo Brooks is, they'd like to take care of him before he ever enters the Senate.
Stan, folks, want to find out more about the campaign, tell them where to look.
Well, mobooks.com, I think, takes care of it. And, you know, I think on digitally, there's opportunities for people, for for citizens, voters to endorse Mo Brooks. And I think they've got a good little list going. So if you're in favor of Mo Brooks, go to mobooks.com. You'll have opportunities to be involved.
Stan, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
Stan McDonald, ladies and gentlemen, the co-chair of the Mo Brooks 2022 U.S. Senate campaign. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.